had, you know, they had the scrolls, they had the law, the first five books, and yet they didn't have it individually, but they had to be read to them. How blessed we are to have God's Word in our life. That we probably have multiple copies of it that we can take down, and different translations and all these things. I just want to be honest with you. When I wasn't saved, when I didn't know Jesus Christ, I would pick up the Bible, and excuse me, I'm leaking all over the place here. I'm full. When you leak, you get filled up. Stuff runs out, don't it? It's an amazing thing. But listen, what'd you say, Sandy? You be careful. No. Listen, but whenever I was lost, I would pick up the Word of God. People talked about how important that it was to read God's Word, and you'll hear that time and time again. But I would pick it up, it'd be like reading Chinese. Come on, I mean, it would be like, whew. And, you know, I know I'm supposed to read this, but when I read it, it's like, man, I just can't get anything out of it. I would go to church, this is before I'm saved, I'd go to church and preacher would preach, and that sounded pretty good, you know, and I'd understand it a little better, but then when I sat down to read it myself, it's like, I'm just not getting out of it what he's getting out of it. You know, and I know, I could. If I ask you to raise your hand, all of us can probably relate to that. But you know what happened when I got saved? I came to know Jesus Christ. I had a desire. I had a desire to know him. When the Holy Spirit came and dwelled within me, I had a desire to understand God, to know him and make him known. And I knew that it was his word and that he had written that. And here's the deal. I still open it and I'm still having a hard time with it and understanding it. And so I would go, I'd get different translations, I would read it and all that. But you know what? Because I kept earnestly and desirously to seek him, I'm still learning from it. I still read it and I still learn. I have my own devotion. I don't just study to give you something, even though that's so important as a pastor, but I study that he can speak to me and talk to me and show me. And we're just like anybody else. We have problems and things that come up in our life just like we can all relate to, and yet it's God's Word that helps us through those situations. And I'm a strong proponent. Whatever can help you understand the Word of God, you get in it, you buy it, you seek him, you study, you spend the time out. And I promise, Jesus said, if you seek me, what did he say? You'll find me. You can find him right here in the pages of this book. And James, that's where we're at in our study today. It's James, if you remember last week, we ended in verse 18, but we're at 19, and it's receiving God's Word. You know, whenever we get to this place in the book where James is focusing on these trials and temptations that we're going through, and he realizes, and James understands that the Word of God is so important in our trials and the tribulations that we face. And so we need to receive it. We need to understand what it is. And he's going to show us in our study today three ways that we can receive the Word of God. And then next week is how we properly react to it. So I want us to think about receiving God's Word. Let's stand to our feet and honor God's Word today. James 1, 19 through 21. Powerful verses. Listen to what it says. The Word of God says, James 1, 19 through 21. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you for the worship we've already had. Thank you for these great people. We're, as Donnie said, God, just come among us. Open our eyes through the Holy Spirit to receive that which you're trying to teach us today. And Lord, I pray, hide me behind the cross, and may your word go forth and Jesus glorified. For it's in his name we ask this. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to see three ways that we are to receive the Word of God. And first, receive the Word by listening. Look at verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We've heard that verse a whole lot, haven't we? But I want you to understand when he says, so then, he's going back up to verse 18. Remember what he said last week? Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. He's already speaking about the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits in his creation. James is saying we're brought forth, we're brought into the kingdom, we're re- rebirthed by the Word of God. And we're this first fruits. We're His creation. The first fruit is His new creation. New creatures in Christ. That's what He says that we are. And He says, so then, since we are these new creatures, since we are the children of God, that's where we get into 19. So then, my beloved brethren, He says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In a study not long ago, I saw that the average man speaks 7,000 words a day. The average man speaks 7,000 words a day. The average woman speaks 24,000 words a day. 24,000 words. Okay, so if we put that together, we're going to average as men and women speaking 15,000 words a day. That's not, it's not, I know Sandy's over here saying, it's not the same in all houses, okay? I'm a type A personality, and I've got to be running my flap all the time. That's the way God made me, and she's quiet, and I'm so glad God put a quiet woman with me, right? But listen, 15,000 words a day, my fear is that there's more words going out than God's Word coming. I mean, if we speak that many words, then we've got to take out the time. If we would all agree that God's Word is the most important thing, isn't it? So we've got to take out time to allow His Word to penetrate, to come in. And so we've got to receive the Word by listening. When we're facing our trials, we need to turn to the Word of God. You know what it says, Psalms 119:105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now I want you to think about that. I couldn't help it when I was thinking about that verse. When I was young, my grandpa, he used to like to go, I called him Paw-Paw. He used to like to go catfishing. You know how grandpas are. They like to take the grandsons along with them, like to pass on these outdoor things. And so, Paw-Paw, we would get a lantern. I remember an old lantern. Sometimes it'd be the old kerosene lantern. Anybody say, hey, you remember that? You like that old kerosene lantern? I'm going to tell you something. You draw real close to Paw-Paw when you're walking in the dark. Why? Because that thing don't shine too far. I mean, even a regular lantern, it just gives you where your feet are walking now. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. He don't give you the whole scenario. He lights your path as you walk and a light unto my path. As we're walking with Christ daily, His Word guides us and it illuminates how to walk in the decisions that we make. And James said, we got to be a listener, though. We got to hear what God is saying. And he says, you know, God's calling the attention here. And James is calling attention through God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Say, you got to listen to what God's saying. And how does He tell? How does He speak to us? Through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to attention. This is what He's saying. Look, first have a listening ear. I want us to look. It says, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Be a careful listener. Make sure that you pay attention in order to get the message right. How important is that? How important is that we understand and get the message right in God's Word? It's so important, and I hate to lay the responsibility. You've heard me say this before. It's your responsibility as a congregation to make sure that your pastor is preaching the Word of God correctly, that I'm not up here in heresy. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to be careful. One of the greatest weights that I bear as a pastor is to make sure that I come up here clean and I don't have an agenda, or I'm not trying to get something across to somebody, but how is it that God is speaking to me and it's going in and it's coming forth? And that's a tremendous weight, because you know what? I'm a man. I'm human. And if I'm not careful, I'll let Satan get in and I'll have an agenda, or I'll be thinking that preaching in certain situations. Here's the deal. Let the Word of God be preached and let it find us right where we're at. And so we have to be careful. It's have a listening ear. It's your responsibility. So you have to take that as something that God's given you. How are you going to know if I'm preaching heresy if you're not in it and studying it yourself? You've got to be in there. And you've got to bear that burden with me also. We've got to all do that. That we don't use God's Word as an agenda or a springboard to get what we want across. What does God say and what does He want? Have a listening ear. James takes the opportunity. He said, take every opportunity to read God's Word, to hear God's Word. When we gather, and I love, Dean was saying, to forsake and not assembling of ourselves in our prayer today. That's important. And why do we come here together? We come here, you know, we've studied and listened to God through the week, but we also come together to worship corporately and to hear God's Word taught in Sunday school and preached here. And it's so important then, if James is saying, if he's telling us that the Scripture and the Word of God is so important in our life, then don't be a smoke. You say, what are you talking about? Don't be a Sunday morning only Christian, man. Don't be a small Sunday morning Christian only, but be in God's Word daily yourself. You know what? We're going to meet tonight. I had somebody give me a testimony this week. Said, I can't believe I haven't been coming on Sunday night. We had such a great time. And boy, we do. Sunday night in the fellowship hall, 6 o'clock, finger foods and Bible study. It's just like old home week, man. You just come in, everybody sits around, and we eat together, we fellowship, and then we have a Bible study together. That's why James is saying, make sure that you spend time. You want to have a desire to come in and hear and listen and be together and gain strength from one another. James said, have a listening ear. Be very careful. The Word helps us to have proper perspective in the trials and temptations that come in our life. It's those passages. Have you ever got that passage? Have you ever got one where right where you're at, it's almost like God slaps you in the face with, boom, I can see, Dave. You think it nobody else knows? And he'll bring you that passage, and it'll become so real to you. Here's to the point that sometimes you want to show somebody, look, and it don't mean that much to them, right, because they're not where you're at. And listen, look what God said in it for you. It's like, oh, my goodness, like he sat right down beside of you and let you crawl up on his lap, and he's just speaking right to you. That's what God's Word can do for us. If we're listening, we got to have a listening ear. You know, and by the way, this is how we become God's children. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. That's Romans, man. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. The way that we're birthed into this wonderful family of God is by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit illuminating ourselves to our sinful ways, and God showing us, you know what, this is what you need. This is what you're searching for. This is that longing in your heart, that lack of peace that you have that you're so desperately trying to fill with everything else. It's the Word of God, and it's Jesus that needs to be brought in. That's what he does with us, and that's why the Word is so important. A listening ear. And that we should be good listeners, shouldn't we? We don't have to say be talking all the time, Dave. I need to listen. You know what? The hardest thing, let me tell you something. I pray and I like to spend time with God. But also during that time I'm supposed to be listening. Not just asking, not just talking. I find myself, if I'm not careful, all I'm doing is asking God for things. And I should. I love you guys. There are so many things that so many people need, but you know what? There should be a time where I'm just focusing on Him, who He is, not what He can do. Who He is, the holiness and the righteousness and the grace of God and the magnitude of God, that He would save a sinner like myself. That when Christ can come in and Christ walked this earth and that He gave His life on Calvary and He died and He was buried and He rose again on the third day, that if He can take that and that becomes so real in my life, how come I can't just spend some time just thanking Him for who He is and what He's done? Just God, just being holy and righteous. And then listening. That's the hardest part. Listening to what God is saying. Just be still, He said, and know that I am God. Be still. Well, we're to have a listening ear. Swift to hear, but listen also. Have a controlled tongue. Listen to what it says. Slow to speak. You cannot listen when you're talking. Now, some of you, I debate, because you've talked so much, sometimes that's the only way you're going to hear anything, right? Sometimes Sandy has to say, shut up, I'm trying to say something. Just be still, or take a break. Try to say something. You cannot listen while you're speaking. Sometimes we just need to shut up and listen up, y'all. Shut up. We don't need to tell God anything. He knows. And just fast sometimes. Just rest in Him right where He has you. Sometimes we just want to get past. We're trying to reach something, and we don't realize the awesomeness of right where we are in Christ. And just, I always say, just enjoy the ride. Just enjoy the circumstances, good or bad, where He has you, and allow Him just to be so real in the midst of those things. Quit trying to get past and get to somewhere. And did we not do that? You remember as kids, we talked about that. We can't wait till we're 16 to get our license. And then we can't wait till we're 21. We're adults now. And before you know it, you're 52 looking back saying, what just happened? We shouldn't do that with God either. We're always trying to get somewhere. You know what? Sometimes it's right in the midst of that trial or what he's got you that he's going to shine through you and mean so much more to you and speak to you through his word. He says, have a controlled tongue, slow to speak. Proverbs 17:21 says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Proverbs 10:19, he that refraineth his lips is wise. Slow to speak is the idea of what we say should be carefully thought out. We should think before we speak. I'm not careful. I'm one of those people that the more I'm talking, the more I'm one of those guys. I don't know what they call it, but when I can talk through something and I can understand it more as I'm talking through it. Sometimes I gotta shut up and listen. Just listen and be slow to speak and allow God. You know, when we speak for the Lord, when we represent, you know, your words represent Christ more than anything. You ever know that old saying, sticks and stones may what? Break my bones, but what's the other thing but words? I don't know who said that, but they must have been, I don't know where they come from, but words can hurt. And a lot of you sitting here have been hurt by hurtful words. I'm so sorry. And people in church that shouldn't have done the things that they've done have hurt you, and sometimes that keeps us from being what God wants us to be, and we live back there in that hurt. We never get over it. We don't let God just to flush it out of our system. Because words do hurt. And so if we're God's children, we should be careful about what we say. We should think it out. Because you know what? I've learned you can't go back and get them back, can you? Boy, have you ever said it? Just wish you could. Ooh, I wish I could grab that back and stick it back in. The things that we say, we got to be very careful with that. The idea of saying, what comes to your mind is very dangerous. If you're one of them people, oh, they're a cooper. And so they just say what comes to their mind. You know what? If we're not careful when we're giving up somebody a piece of our mind, we're really revealing what's in our heart, okay? That's right. When we just give somebody a piece of our mind, we fly off, we get our feelings hurt, we're really just revealing what's in our heart, okay? Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So we got to be careful to watch what we say. And you know what? We should never argue with God's word. Never. That's really part of the difficulty that we see today in the world, is people want to interpret God's word to where it fits into whatever they want to do. You notice that? They can manipulate it into saying that it's all right to do any kind of sin. God's word should never be argued against. It should be taken for what it says, and it should be lived out. We should be people of the book. We need to be slow to speak. And not only have a listening ear, swift to hear, have a controlled tongue, slow to speak, but listen, have a calm temper. Have a calm temper, slow to wrath, a disposition that is hostile to scriptural truth when it does not line up with your own convictions. That's what we're talking about. We get angry. Have you ever noticed that? What are the people of the world use now? What's that word? You're judging me. How many times have we heard that? Raise your hand. Oh, you're judging me. And you don't even say something. Sometimes, right? You're just living in it. It's like, you're judging me. They're ready to say that. Our lives don't judge them. It's the word of God and the truth of God that is judging where they're at and the sin that they've chosen to live in. And yet they'll say that, don't be judgmental. And we're not careful. We'll use that ourselves. But listen, it's that idea. People desire to have their own way. Okay? Does that take you by surprise? I hope not. We desire to have our own way. And guess what? We have our own opinion about everything. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into that same idea on how things should be done or shouldn't be done. We've always done it that way. That's the last words of a dying church. We've always done it that way. We've got to be careful. We should never disrespect the past and the people that's come from the past and the building stones and the foundation that's been laid for us. But guess what? We are living in 2014. And we have to understand that the Word of God's got to be relevant in 2014. And we've got to be people of the book in 2014. traditionalism will choke the life out of everything. We don't do it. We don't walk at cookie cutter Christianity just because it's always been done that way. But we're out here and saying, God, how can I make a difference in my community right here in 2014? How can I reach these people that are so desperately without Christ? How can we do that? You know what? We get agitated, don't we? If you're an agitated person, I've always struggled with anger. I always had me ask my wife. And then before I was saved, I'd tear something up. I'm one of them guys that turn the tables over. I mean, I had to release it, right? Release the Kraken. I mean, seriously, it was like, if I could turn something over or throw something, I felt better. That's not God-honoring, by the way. And listen to what, I've had a hard time to giving that to the Lord. Why? Because that's just how Coopers are, by the way. Shame on me for being a Cooper. I should be a Christian, a child of God. And so I can't go back and say, that's just the way that I am. In Christ, I'm a new creation. And so it's hard when you're agitated. It's hard to get a word from God. Anybody else understand that? It's hard. And yet, you know what it says? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. We shouldn't be angry people or agitated people. We should, you know, just love. It'll block. Anger will block what Christ is trying to say to us. So if you struggle with that, you've got to give it to the Lord. It's one of those things that's continuous work. Have I overcome it completely? No, I haven't. Still got a long way to go. I can get angry about certain situations if I'm not careful. And we'll go, I want us to come back to that just a minute, because not only do we receive the word by listening, but look, we receive the word with humility. Look what the next verse says. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Well, it comes from a humble and a teachable spirit. But he says the wrath of man doesn't do that. If you're one of those people that get angry, think about, we need to check our motivations, because Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. So my question is, what's the difference between good anger and bad anger? One word, pride. One word. What are we angry about? Why are we angry? Pride. Many times it's because we've got our feelings certain. Now I want you to think about Jesus. You remember when he went in the temple? What were they doing? There was money changers everywhere. What? They said he got himself a whip. And did he say, oh, man, you got to get out of my house? Is that how he did? He drove them out, my friend. He turned over the tables and they left there, right? Why? Because they had discarded, they had dishonored his father's house. It didn't have anything. You know, yeah, if you dishonor God, you're dishonoring Jesus. But you know what? It was his father's house that had been desecrated, and he was angry and he drove them out. If we're angry about sin, you know what? That's a good thing. We should be angry about the sin in our world today. But often, we are angry about the wrong things. We all get upset at people in the church and become furious over little things, but you know what we'll do? We'll tolerate all kinds of ungodliness in our world because we do this because we're just wanting to get along, not getting involved. Hello? But you let somebody do something in the church, and we get so upset, but we let the world around us and all the ungodliness, and we don't even get upset about it because we don't want to rock the boat. Look at our world, guys. Look at our world around us. I asked on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, how did we get to this place? How? How has our world gotten to such a place like this? Because you know what? How did we get this? The answer is we got this way because we're too busy fighting in the church over things that don't matter, and we're letting the world go to hell because we love our comfort. And that's the way it is. That's the truth of the matter. Who's responsible for the world? We are. We are God's house. And if we don't repent, before God and quit pointing out somebody else's fault and repent and say, God, help us. As the church, we sit back on our blessed assurance and we're letting the world go to hell around us because we love our comfort. If we don't admit that, I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you. We've got to come to a place of repentance in the house of God. Quit blaming everybody else and start saying the buck stops here. The house of God is the reason the world is in the shape that it's in. We Christians have let it go to hell. Just because we don't want to be, we don't want to rock the boat. We want to, we like that intolerance kind of thing. We like to be tolerant of everything that goes on because we like our comfort. We need to repent. Allow Christ to live over, live through us and stand up for what's right. And we need to get a backbone and stand up for what's right. When it's wrong because the Word of God says it's wrong. No debate. No debate. Well, what about no? The Word of God says it's sin, period. I don't care how nice people are, how this or that. If it's not saying thus the Word of God, it's wrong and it's sin. And in Jesus' name, I don't mean condemning. I mean loving them. When we get repent and we come to know the Lord and we get right in the church house, when we repent of not sitting back and letting the world get the way it is, you know what happens? Then we get a heart of love and start reaching out and saying, let me tell you about a Savior. Let me love on you. Not, you know, just come condemning like this, but saying, here, let me tell you. Let me tell you about a Savior that loves you this much. This much. Oh, my goodness. What would we do? What would happen in our world if the church would understand this? And not only do we receive the Word by listening, we receive the Word with humility, but last, receive the Word by implanting. Stick with me. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about our purity. This is where, if you want to get right down, just to keep on going where we're at, the purity within the church should be different than the purity that's in the world. Do you agree with that? The people in our church should be pure before the Lord. And he says some things that we do to lay aside, to strip off some things that we need to get rid of. And what does it say to do? Here's what he's saying. Before God's Word can produce righteousness in our life, we need to make sure the closet's cleaned out. Sin stands in the way of our righteousness. What it says, get rid of all what? Filthiness to begin with. Look at that. Filthiness. You know what the word's used for? Earwax. Which, and you know what earwax does? When it builds up in there, it impairs our hearing. How are we going to hear the Word of God if our ears are full of wax? Filthiness, earwax. Clean it out. Take you a Q-tip and go to work, man. Get that mess out of there. Come on. Filthiness, get rid of that. And the other thing is wickedness. It's moral corruption in general. And guess what? It includes hidden sins. Guess what? There's no such thing as a hidden sin. The world might not know about it, but God does. If you're doing things that you think nobody else knows, God knows it. Listen, you guys, if you're looking at pornography and you think nobody knows, God knows. Be pure before the Lord. If you're cheating on your wife, if you're talking like the world, if you're out there being just like the world, partying it up, man, let's go to church on Sunday. God knows it. God knows it. He says, get rid of some things if you want the good Word of God to make a difference in your life. There's a putting off, and there's a putting on. Look what he says. When we get rid of those things, he says, then we can receive the implanted Word. I love that word implanted that he's using there. It means, you know what he said? Literally means planting a seed in the ground. This year, old Hired, he come out to help me. Out in my garden, out back behind the parsonage, I was so proud. We took a row of Shelley's there. You know what we did? We laid that thing off. We tilled it up, and then we laid it off with a hoe, and we took Shelley bean seeds. Anybody like Shelley? I was little, man. I ate a mess the other night. It was one of the best beans I ever ate out of my garden. Praise God. You know what we did? We planted those Shelley's in the ground, and you know what? We covered them up, put some fertilizer on them, and you wouldn't believe what happened. Two big old rows of Shelley's. I've got them up in the freezer. I had the best year you ever seen. Hired said it's the best two rows you've ever seen in his life. That's Hired Woodring, man. He's planted a bunch of Shelley beans. That's right. That's what's the same concept. He's talking about taking that Word of God and planting it in our life. How do we plant it in there? We read it and we study it. And have little kids on a water on one night on Wednesday night, and they're memorizing the Word of God. That's implanting it into their lives, guys. Come on. That's how important it is. We implant it. What did he say? We implant it into our life. We receive with meekness the implanted Word. It's allowing the seed of God's Word to take root in our hearts. When we receive it, we'll allow it to direct our lives and control our lives. And then he says, which is able to save our souls, the last part of that verse there. Referring back to the initial salvation, which we once, it's not a once and for all event. It happens with salvation, but salvation is a progressive thing in that we're growing in the Lord in personal sanctification daily. Yes, we got saved at this point in time, but you know what? If I haven't grew from there, if I just got saved and nothing changed in my life, did I really get saved? I said Wednesday night, I would hate to be relying on a salvation to get me to heaven to be right with God that cannot change me here on this earth. Come on. That's not much of a salvation. That's an awful weak thing. If you're relying on a salvation that says, oh, I'm right with God, but it's not changing the way you live, and you can live all the way, that's a weak salvation, my friend. Because when Jesus comes in, things change. He gets a hold of our life. We're not perfect by no means. But you know what? When I sin, He convicts me of it. And I can't live in a lifestyle of sin as a son or a daughter of Christ. But He'll get a hold of me and He'll shake me and say, wake up. That's not lining up with my word. Or here's the deal. That was a wrong motive, Dave. You said that with a wrong motive or a wrong heart. He didn't glorify me. All these things. So what kind of salvation are you relying on? Are you the same way that you was when you got saved? You better do a checkup. Is Christ truly in you? Are you saved? Do you have the Spirit of God that dwells in you? Because when He dwells there, He makes a difference in our life. And James said, you're going to desire to read His Word, learn His Word. You're going to desire to be a listener of His Word. You're going to desire to be a hearer and a doer of His Word. And we'll see that in our verses. You're going to lay aside filthiness and corruption. And you're going to live for Christ. Well, applications will be finished. First one is, how often do you read God's Word? Here we go. Rubber meeting the road. How often are you reading? How often? That's between you and God. How often do you spend time listening? This is His Word. This is how He speaks to you through His Holy Spirit. How often are you reading? That's the first question. Next, do you struggle with being an angry person? Is anger just a part of your life? And you're okay with it because you just figured out that's the way that you are. You're struggling to make it. And lastly, do you have some earwax that you need to get rid of? Are they sin in your life? Come on. Are they sin? You're desiring so much, you want to hear it from God. You want God to direct you. Have you cleaned your ears? Have you got rid of the filthiness and the wickedness that's in your life so that God can speak to you and direct your path? Linda? Brittany? What do we do with this today? Here's the deal. How has God spoken to you? How has God spoken to you through His Word? Because the Word said it doesn't leave void, don't return void. How has He spoken to you this morning? Here's the deal. If God's told you to act on it, act on it. Don't worry about what everybody's thinking or what you did. You know, it's between you and God, by the way. When you stand in heaven before the Lord, nobody's going to be standing around you, not your mate, not your closest friend. It's just going to be you. And if God's spoken to you and He said and He's revealed something to you, respond to it this morning. If you're lost, you know you're saying, you know what, I just don't have Christ. Come forward. I'd love to talk to you about Christ. If you know that there's sin in your life and you just want to, you know what, I just want to take this time to get right with the Lord. If you're seeking God and you need a touch from God's direction, at this altar call, just come forward. Spend time with God. You know what, we got a few minutes. We're not in a hurry. It's the most important time of the whole week, right? What is God saying to you? Stand your feet, please.
Yeah.
part. Make it official what they're already been doing, right, for a while now. We're so thankful. Thank you. I know they're coming, but Susan's going to be baptized. I know she comes from Methodist background, and so she's going to be believer in baptism. Jean's coming by letter of faith, and so what's the pleasure of the church? Praise God. Ain't God good? We're going to go back to the back, and we'll close in prayer. I want you to offer them the right hand of fellowship. This is your family anyway, right? They've been family for a long time, but just give them that hand of fellowship. Praise God for what God's doing. Jim closes in prayer.